Maria Weiss's house. They were guests there. Anyway, so we squashed up and we pushed in another three people in the car. We had six. Yeah, so we put another three people in the car and we took them to their asanya. So I'm saying, Mamash Bashet. Bashet for them and Bashet for us. Because if we hadn't stayed for the mitzvah tants, we wouldn't have had that mitzvah either. So, what? This was last night, this morning at 2 o'clock. Yeah, 2 o'clock in Manchester. So that's Mamash up to date, your latest Bashet story for your Shabbos table. What? The Rach of the Rebbe made a chasna. Yeah. What? We drove back, we got here at 6:30, Adam Shachris at 7 o'clock, and I'm here. What? No, I haven't slept. I'll sleep later. I'll catch up. It's fine. What? No, my son Shmuley drove. I slept a bit in the car. Yeah, I dozed off in the car. Okay. So, Rabbi, we are now the seven rules of TLS. We did number one yesterday, which is to be absolutely that the information is accurate. It's either first-hand, you saw it yourself, not second-hand information, or you saw the film. Yeah, you know, they say that some of the SEM girls are very, 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 very frum, much frummer than the boys that they go out with, you know. And they say that this Israeli girl was going out with a boy, and the boy wasn't as frum as her, and she was like a BJJ girl, you know. And so she asks him, have you read Michtav Me'Eliyahu? I'm Karata Michtav Me'Eliyahu, Reb Desli. Oh. So he says, I'm not sure, he says, I think I've seen the film. So I'll call upon him. What we're saying is as follows, right? The rule number one was that you have to be sure that the information is accurate. Yeah, that it's either first-hand or you saw it on a film. You saw CCTV or you actually saw that the person did what he's accused of doing, and therefore you want to be able to tell it further. What do you need the TLS for? To go and speak to his Rav. Let's go and speak to his father, to his brother, or whoever it is, somebody who can influence him. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is that you have to be sure that what he was doing was Navera. There was a mitzvah of being Don Lachav Schus. You have to put you have to give him the opportunity or to give him every possible even to crazy extremes. They say that there was Reb Levi Yitzchak of Baditchev. They say that in Baditchev on a Yom Kippur in the afternoon, there was a Yid who'd gone off the derech and who had an axe to grind. He was lahachis. He wanted to prove that he was right and everybody else was wrong. So he went to the local McDonald's and he bought a triple burger and cheese and on Yom Kippur in the afternoon. And he went and he sat down on a bench outside the shul. And he ate this bosa b'cholov on Yom Kippur in front of the shul. All the kids came out to see. They went and told their parents. Their parents rushed them away, etc. And the balabatim were very, very annoyed. So on Motzah Shabbos, a couple of the balabatim grabbed this guy. And they brought him in front of Reb Levi Yitzchak and Baditchev. And they told Reb Levi Yitzchak and Baditchev, this is what he was doing. And he was zicha doing that. Yeah, he was eating a triple burger on Yom Kippur in the afternoon in front of the shul, Davka Lahachis. Yeah, and they said, that the Rebbe should do something, put a curse on him, put some sort of a spell, be mispallel that something terrible should happen to him, etc. He deserves to be punished. Reb Levi Yitzchak said to him, maybe you didn't know it was Yom Kippur today. He said, Rebbe, he says, I know when Yom Kippur is. I mean, the guy grew up from, He said, I knew it was Yom Kippur today. She said, maybe you were so hungry that you couldn't control yourself. He said, nah, it was fine. I could fast. Not a problem for me. So he said, maybe you don't know that you're not allowed to eat bosa b'cholov. So he asked him all these questions, one after the other. And the chassidim were looking at is the Rebbe crazy, right? The man is saying to him, I did this dafka. He said, I did it dafka. I did it to prove a point. To make a point, if you like, not to prove a point, And Athelby Cain, the Rebbe kept on asking him these questions. Maybe you made a mistake with a date. Maybe your doctor told you that you've got some machla for which you have to eat a cheeseburger in order to make it better. Or something like that, And every time he said Rebbe, he said, no, I knew exactly what I was doing. Bosa b'cholov, on Yom Kippur, in front of the shul, lehachis, etc., etc. And it was only after the Rebbe had exhausted all the questions, that then the Rebbe said, well, in that case, yes. And then he instructed, I don't know exactly what he did and what he instructed, but at that point, when he'd exhausted all the possibilities, and even the possibilities which seem like naive, you know, who does he think he is, you know, like he knows exactly what's going on, he's not stupid. And the man is saying that I know what's going on and I'm not stupid. And I knew exactly what I was doing and I was doing it deliberately. And I was doing it in order to make a point. And Afal became the Rebbe until he'd exhausted every possibility. So here we've got, when we see somebody doing something, right, we had this story that I think I told you about the guy who went into McDonald's to use the toilet. Yeah, we had the discussion about that. Yeah, the Shaila of whether or not he's allowed to, whether there's a possibility of Marisayin, etc., etc. The halach is, Petzalik Tishboi Tamisecho. You have to. So therefore, he says, before you go, L'toyeles, in order to correct some terrible thing that somebody else is doing, you have to be sure that you've exhausted every possibility that maybe that no Avera occurred here. Maybe he's done nothing wrong. Yeah, so therefore, that's the second rule of Toyeles. You must be certain the information and the interpretation of the information is accurate. So rule number one is that it's first-hand information, or you've seen it on the film. And the second thing is that you have to be sure that that an avodah has been occurred. The rule number three is that, and again, all these things, the Chofetz Chaim is bringing seven rules, and every one of them, if you stop and think about it, you can work out for yourself. It's logic. It's logic. When are you going to have a heter to speak Lashon Hara? We're speaking Lashon Hara about somebody. We're saying you have a heter if it is Toyeles. How do you prove that it is Toyeles, that it's for a good purpose? So we're saying these are the rules. And the Chofetz Chaim is just sort of, is just giving us the rules that he worked out as a list of rules. But the truth is that they make sense. So rule number one and two we've done. Number three will be, I presume our speaker's just arrived. Yeah, saved by the clock. But number three, which we'll discuss tomorrow, is that you have to give him the first opportunity to repent. In other words, before you start going to someone else and telling them l'toyeles about, before you go and speak to his brother or to his father or to his Rebbe or to his Rov or something like that about the thing that this person has done, you have to go and speak to him. You have to see whether or not you can persuade him in a nice way, speaking to him in a friendly way, and you being l'toyeles, in order to try and persuade him that he should repent.
Start in northwest London. Thursday, Hey Tammuz, 11th of July, Rabbi Daniel Engel Schlitter, Chiyuvei Momem Bevein Odom Lachaveirov. This week's Torah is sponsored by our family, Dodi Rosenberg, the Chavad Simcha Nosem, Old Benson, Moshe Rosenberg, and Goldie Feldman. Chassid took place on Monday. Here, Rotten Shmevais, Neimon, Yisrael, Hashem, Lizidot, and also by families Krauss and Kaufman, the Nishmas, Beida, Bastard, Moshe, Ode, Asholem, and Ziyat, was on Sunday, but it's also Shalom, Ha'olim, and Melchom, Shach Sudah, Vatsev, Mishalim, and Heiro.
Amen. Okay. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "Minayin, that person that's leroyes chaverishu toiveh benor, person is drowning at sea, or chaya gorosoi, an animal is dragging him, or listin boinolov, armed robbers are coming after him, shu chayv latziloi, how do you know that you must save him? Talmud loy maloy samad al dam reecho." You cannot stand still and stand by on the blood of your friend. The Gemara asks a question. We learn it out from here. We learn it out from Avedas Gufay Minayin. We know there's the idea of Ashavas Avedo. A person loses money. There's a Chiva of Ashavas Avedo. Says the Gemara, Gufay Minayin. How do you know that you have to return a person his goof as well? Vashavoy soy loy is the lotion of Vashavoy soy, means to return him, loy, to himself. Says the Gemara, so why the question is, why do we need the two psukim? The first pasuk is loysamar al dam reecho, which is a love, and the second pasuk is an essay of Vashavoy soy loy. First question is, there's a very big difference between a lav and an essay. We have many mitzvahs in the Torah that are essay, and the Torah is moisif alav. And generally speaking, alav is much more chomer than an essay. Shabbos is an essay in alav. Tzedakah is an essay in alav. The Gemara seems to want to know if we have this lav, why do we need the lav? We have an essay. The question is, lav is much more chomer. One of the basic differences, la halacha, between a lav and an essay, is that for a lav, you have to give up all your money. A person has to give up all his money not to be over a lav in the Torah. As opposed to an essay, the Gemara Baba Kama says that a person for an essay only has to give up a fifth of his money. The idea behind it seems to be that it's an oinus. A person, the Gemara says, a person can't put himself in a bad situation to mekayem essay. As opposed to a lav, a person has to give up all his money. The source for that, not so clear. Some say it's from Reb Lezer, who says, "V'after Hashem lekecho b'chol vavcho v'chol nafshcho v'chol moedecho." With b'chol nafshcho, we know that for avodah zara, a person has to give up his life. With b'chol moedecho, a person has to give up all his money. Question is, if it's coming for a blazer, so the same way B'chol Nafshecho is only said for Avodah Zarah, could be B'chol Moedecho, would also be. But that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo, that person has to give up all his money not to be over a lav. So the nafkimino between a lav and an essay is a big difference. Yet the Gemara says, Ima Hosom, if we'd only have Vashavoyse Eloi, the essay, Hava Amina Hani Mili B'Nafshei. I would say that's only something that you have to do with your goof. But to do the work of renting workers to go save the person's life, I would think you don't have to do. Kumash malon, from Leisamar Adam Recho, that you do have to go and rent people to save his life. Question begs to be asked. In a lav, you have to do a lot more to not be over a lav of Lisamar Adam Recho. You should have to do much more than just rent workers. The Lashon of the Gemara is that you have to go rent workers. Question to be asked, renting workers is the act of renting the workers, is the deal, so to speak, of hiring the workers. But the Gemara doesn't say about paying the workers. Who has to pay the workers? Says the Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the person that's drowning and the person's life is in danger, he's the one that has to pay for the workers. Comes out from the Gemara that you don't even have to pay for the workers to save his life. You just need to rent the workers. Obviously, if he can't pay, then the person that rented the workers, being that he rented them, has to pay. But make your adin, the person that's life was saved, even though he didn't do the deal of renting the workers, but he was the one that benefited from that service, he has to pay for it. And again, the question is, for Allah, a person has to do much more. So there's a question of why is Allah more chama than an essay? Is it just because the Torah says not to do it? Or because generally an essay is something you do become the essay? An essay is something you do. The Torah is a mitzvah to do something. The Torah says to shake lulav, to blow shofar. It's a mitzvah's essay. But a person not doing what the Torah required of him, he's not going against the Torah. He's just not doing what he's supposed to do. He's mevatel the mitzvah's essay, b'shev al taseh. He's just not doing it. You know, the idea of not doing something is worse than actively transgressing it. Rabbonon could be mevatel dinei Torah b'shev al taseh, but not b'kum v'aseh. He can't go and act and do an action against the Torah. So there's a place to say that the chomer, the reason why lois aseh is more chomer, is not because the Torah says don't do it. Rather, because if a person is going to do what the Torah tells him not to do, so now he's acting against the Torah. So that would be by regular love, but the Torah says don't go and do something. So if the Torah says don't go and do something, so if a person goes and does it, he's acting against the Torah. And for that, a person can't do, has to do whatever he can to not let that happen. Here the love is loisamer al dam reecho. Here the Torah doesn't say, do not do something. The Torah says, do not stand still. So here, I'm not transgressing. The Torah is not telling me there's something that I shouldn't do. So here it's not bekum v'ese. Here it's b'shev al ta'ase. The Torah says, do not stand still, and I stood still. That would be a bit of b'shev al ta'ase. So it could be here, you don't have the choymer of the love that you have to give up all your money. But there's a seemingly very difficult question in this Gemara. We're talking about somebody who's drowning and somebody whose life is in danger. For that, we give up everything. What kind of idea would that be, not to give up all a person has, not to save a person's life? We know the mitzvah of pidyon shvuim. There's no limit to what we'll do to save somebody's life. The Torah says that all the mitzvahs of the Torah are v'chai ben v'lo yishyom usbem. A person should live through the mitzvahs and not die from them. And therefore, we know that pikuach nefesh is doicha kol ha-Torah kula. If somebody's life is in danger, you could do whatever it takes to save his life. No place to think about mitzvahs and chiyuvim to save somebody's life. We do anything. Yet here seems to be a case of somebody's life being in danger. And yet we don't learn it out, first of all, from v'chaybem. We learn it out from Leisamon Adam Reecho. And secondly, we learn it from Vashavoy Soilot, Vashavoy Savedo. What happened to the V'chaybem, a very basic idea of Torah, a person's life will do anything to save his life. Shlomo Kluger caused a big ruckus in the Sefer Chochma Shlomo. And he wanted to bring and apply a certain halacha that we find by Hashavas Avedo to a case where a person's life is in danger, this case of the Gemara. There's a halacha by Hashavas Avedo that Zokin ve'enoi lefi chvoidoi is potter from Hashavas Avedo. That means if a person lost an animal and there's a Zokin that sees the animal and sees the animal lost, the halacha is that he doesn't have to pick up the animal on his shoulder and bring him back to the owner. It's enel v'chvoidoi. So Shlomo Kluger wants to say that that will apply here as well. Since we learn it out from Vashavoy Soiloi, from Medina Vashava Savedo, and the halacha is you're returning him to himself, so the same rule applies. That if a zokin sees somebody drowning in the sea, the zokin doesn't have to get into the water and jump into the water to save his life. This caused big problems. How could that be? That somebody's life is in danger. So Zokin, some Rishonim say that Zokin has to be somebody who's a Talmud Chacham. But what? Yeah, but those that say just a Zokin, there's somebody. The question is, what's the idea behind this? We'll get to that. Why is it that a zokin v'enu l'fi chavoyde is potter? Why is that? We have a pasuk in the Torah. We have a limud. The question is, what's the idea behind it? But why?
Charlie, you're too young.
You're having a problem with the fact that a zokin is potter. Why would that be? But that seems to be an idea in Hashavas Avedo. The idea behind it seems to be an idea by Dine Momen, where Hashavas Avedo is referring to somebody's lost object. Somebody's losing money. How much do I have to do for that person who's losing money? By Hashavas Avedo as well. Let's say I find somebody's Avedo, I have to get to work. And if I now spend time with Avedo trying to put up signs, finding the person, I'm going to lose out from going to work. Do I need to do that or not? Let's say I have a friend's Avedo and my Avedo. Do I have to now be busy with his Avedo? Or can I not be busy with his Avedo to take care of my Avedo and to go find my Avedo? So the halacha in general, Hashavas Avedo, is that I don't have to give up any of my money to save somebody else's money. when it comes to money and finances. So, yes, my friend's going to have a loss of money. I don't have to lose money in order to save his money. Therefore, the idea behind Zok and Veinu Lefi Chavoidoi, Rava says an idea. If he wouldn't do that for himself, if a Zokin wouldn't walk around and take the goat or whatever animal they found, and for his own goat, he wouldn't walk around with the goat on his shoulder. So he's not mechuyev to do that for his friend. The idea when it comes to financials, to mominus, dine momin, something that he wouldn't do for himself, he doesn't become obligated to do for somebody else. Therefore, that's the p'tur of Zokin Veinu Lefi Chavoidoi. The Zokin himself wouldn't walk around with a goat on his shoulder. He therefore doesn't have to do that for his friend. To bring that to here, again, seems to be very difficult. We're talking about Pikuach Nefesh. And Pikuach Nefesh, we know, is Deche Kol HaTorah Kula. And why would money be any different? Why would it be that to save this person, I don't have to spend my own money, I just rent the workers?
If it was my person,
as in
my Eved, my brother, my father,
or myself,
then I would spend money.
Right. Meaning more than that, let's bring out the question. This idea of Zokin Veinu Lefi Chavoidoi is because he wouldn't do that for himself. He wouldn't take the goat and put it on his shoulder. He wouldn't take his own goat. So he doesn't have to do that for his friend. What about if he was drowning at sea? Would he not do everything he could to save his life? Let alone, or his son, or whatever it is. There's no idea of Eino Fichvoide if the whole idea is he wouldn't do it for himself. But there's a way to answer that. The question is, what's Rava coming to say? Is Rava coming to say what we call the Siba, the reason for the Ptur? Is that the reason of the Ptur? Or is that what's called a simen for the Ptur? How do we know? Zokin Veinu Lefi Chavoidoi, how do we know if it's a Chavoidoi or not? Some things might be within his covered range and some things might not be. How do we know? So the litmus test is, what would he do for himself? But that's not really the idea itself of Zokin Veinu Lefi Chavoidoi. If let's say we have something which clearly is not the covered of an older person, we don't need a litmus test for, so then you'll be potter, regardless of the litmus test. And if that's the case, then even in this case, where his life is in danger, if jumping into the water or starting to fight the animals is objectively not kvoidoi of a zokein, the litmus test doesn't matter. That's one of the ways to deal with that question. But the greater question is, pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula. What don't we do to save a person's life? And the question is, how does the Torah regard dine momen when it comes to life being in danger? There's a Gemara that says, "Osur laodom lahatzel atzmoi b'momen chaver." It is also for a person to save his life with somebody else's money. That seems to be very difficult. A person's life is endangered. He cannot, he has a way to get out by using somebody else's money. He can't do that. It's awesome. This is a Gemara, talks about Dovra Melech. And the Machoikas, Rashi and Toisvis, if this also means that it's also to do so, or also means that you can't do it without the intent to pay back.
Situations with captives.
Or to the captives to give them money, which we have to give. That's one of the questions that we have to deal with. Pikuach nefesh and pidyon shvuim. We have to do everything we can. Seems to be a limitation here. But first, we want to just bring out how seriously the Torah takes dine momen, with the idea of osel lahatzel atzmoi b'momen chaveri. That seems to be a very puzzling thing. A person's life is in danger, so now it's also to take his friend's money. The Gemara that says, the Gemara in Ksuba says, that if two Edim are forced to either sign a false shtar, a false document, or they get killed, that's their choice. So the Gemara says that they should die and not sign. Says Rava, we have an idea that there are three averis chamuras that are more, that takes precedence over life. Those are Vidzoro, Gila Reis, Shvichas Damim, killing, Gila Reis, and idol worship. Why should they not sign?
What are they signing?
They're signing a document, a financial document. It's going to say that somebody owes this person money.
And they were not witnesses.
And they were not witnesses. A person comes to them at gunpoint and says, either you sign or you die. So Rova says, how could it be? The Ramban there explains, and it also seems like Dan Yerushalmi, that Gezel is also included in that halacha of Yehorik Valyavar. The three times that we say a person should die and not be transgress the Aver of the Torah is not limited to those three. It also is inclusive of Gzela. Question is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara doesn't mention this as one of those three things. The actual source, the Gemara 9 Dalet, doesn't mention Gzela. But that would seem to be a big chiddush. Somebody else's money is not something, something that takes precedence over a person's life. How could that be? Well, clearly we see here is an idea that there's a very big difference between a person's obligation and what a person can do. The Torah can obviously remove the Isurim and the Halachas that the Baruch Shem said that we need to do. The Torah removes that in a place of Pikuach Nefesh. But somebody else's money, that's his money. The fact that there's no Isser, so to speak, or the fact that the Isser is removed because of Pikuach Nefesh, does not give me the right to take his money. It's not necessarily...
Couldn't you say that that person whose money you've taken is obliged to give his
very
money
good.
To save
correct. Him? Right. That's one of the questions. Right. That's one of the questions. So... But the basic idea is that I cannot take the fact that it's a gzela of the Torah. Is that something that the Torah was mechadish? It's a gzela, chiddish. You can't take somebody else's things. Or the it's a gzela of the Torah is to bring out certain halachas and bring out certain ideas that a ganev is chai b'achrayis and he has a kinyan and many other dinim. But the actual iser itself, that's not necessarily, we don't need Issa Torah for that. Even if the Torah removes this exil, it doesn't give me the right to go ahead and take somebody else's money to save my life. But the question is, this question, if the person himself is obliged to spend the money to save my life, so then why can't I go and take the money? So it's a Gemara Kiddushin. A man is running, a dog is running after a woman. This person always wanted to marry her. She's always been giving him a hard time. So finally, she's chased, a dog is chasing her, or an animal is chasing her. So he throws food to the animal and says, Hare Mekudesh Asleep, with this, that he's saving her life with the food to the animal. No, she's not giving in. So she goes to the rabbi, says, I don't want to do it, but, you know, this is the story that happened. He got me. Well, how do I get out of this? So he says to her, very simple. He anyway was obliged to save your life and spend that money to save your life. So you didn't really receive anything from him for the Kiddushin to be chal. So therefore, there's no Kiddushin. And she could say to him, you had to save my life anyway. So the question is, if a person has to anyway spend that money to save my life, why is it that I don't have to, or that I'm not able to go and take that money myself? I think the answer is the same idea. That Gemara is in a case where I went ahead and I made the decision to throw the food to the animal. Granted, the reason why I did it was for Kiddushin, but that was something that I did. With my own volition, I made a decision to do something with my money. Okay, what I wanted didn't come to fruition. But in a case where the person to himself to go ahead and take that money, that seems to be a problem regardless. Well, one thing seems to be clear. It has to be said that this Gemara can't be talking about a person's life being in danger, what we call Bari Azeko, or 100%. It's understood that he's for sure going to die. For that, we have a Chai Bahem. For that, for sure, Pidyon Shvuim. We have to give up all our money. We have to do whatever we can. The Gemara has to be talking in a case where it's not definite. An animal's running after a person. Okay, that's not definite that he's going to kill him. A person drowning at sea is not definite that there's nobody else around. It's not the case. There could be different things. He gets a wind of strength and whatever it may be. Where do we see that from? Not only from the fact that we learn out from L'Yisam al-Adam Re'echo, not V'chai Bahem, but also from V'ashavoy Loi. Return it to him. If a person is understood to be dying, that he's for sure going to die, that might be more similar to Shot for Nor by Aveda. Aveda that's falling down Niagara Falls. There's no Shavas Aveda. It's gone. It's as good as gone. If a person is in a situation where his life cannot be saved, and you're the last person that can do that, here we're talking a case where a person's life could still be saved. There's a suffix. And the question is, how much do I have to give up for it? And here it seems to be this idea that Chiyuvei Mamin, I don't have to give up for a suffix, for a situation of Leisam Adam Recha, Shavas Avedo. The Torah does not demand me to give up more than I would do for myself. And that Zokin Lefi Chvoido, Zokin Vein Lefi Chvoido, Lefi Shlomo Kluger applies here. The more important idea is this idea of Dinei Mamin, that even though we have Gimel Chamuris, but to take somebody else's moment, it goes both ways. It's for somebody else's moment. And if it's not a case of Dini Nefashos, a person's not for sure going to die, but it's return his guf to him, a place of more of a physical things, there the Torah has a different way of dealing with physical things as opposed to a person's life, as opposed to mitzvahs. Where a person doesn't necessarily in question what a person has to give up, whereas there's the other side, that a person cannot take somebody else's money. It doesn't matter if there was a good reason, or even if that person has to spend that money himself. That's the chomer that the Torah gives, Dinei Mamin, in Benon Mechaveroi, that seems to be quite unique and have its own agdoris than when we talk about regular mitzvahs in the Torah. This idea of osur locho we paskin, that a person's life is in danger and he has to save himself, he should use somebody else's money. I think the important idea is that the bring out understanding that the Gemara brings down that there was a Talmud Yeshiva that stole and didn't know who it was, and one of the Amoraim saw one of the Talmidim drawing his hands on somebody else's towel. So he said, he's the Ganiv. And the question is, what was stolen was a Becher. Because he washed, tried his hand on a towel, means he's a ganif, and he stole the becher. It seems to be that the idea is very clear. A person who does not view somebody else's money as something that he has no shaykhis to, and something that he in no way, shape, or form can ever go ahead, even in a life and death situation, at least an idea, he can't go ahead and take that money. As a person just dries his hands for the convenience of his hands being dried with somebody else's towel, that's somebody who we understand to be a ganav. That's somebody that does not understand the importance of Dini Mamin. Torah only one time sells somebody as an eved ivri. And again, the question is, okay, he stole, it's pretty bad, but for that he gets sold as an eved ivri. And the idea is the same. The importance that the Torah has on somebody else's money. And not on ours, but somebody else's money, to have an understanding that that's something that we can't, we have no shaykhis to, we have no access to, and under no situation can we at least lechatchilo go ahead and do something with somebody else's money. We also brought out what our obligations are with money, for another case where we don't have time to talk about it, keep it aveim. A person has to do all physical exertion for his parents. When it comes to Dinei Mamin, he does not have to spend all money for his parents. The din is mishalohem. Again, if they have the money, then they have to pay for the things. And not mishaloi. So that's one whole sugya where a person's din imam and how much does a person have to spend of his money. But the main idea of somebody else's money is not something that needs to be something that we're fully separated from and realize the extent that even a person's life is in danger, you can't just go ahead and do it. The halacha is to do it anyway, but that seems to be the attitude of the Torah to somebody else's money and giving significance even to our money and how much of it we have to give up. In Torah, you need two eidim for dini nefoshes, and you need two eidim for dini mamon. That's how seriously the Torah takes dini mamon. You need two eidim, as opposed to issa v'heter, only requires one eid. Ironically, the Torah and the wording of the Torah for dini nefoshes and dini mamon are the same. Domim is both referring to money, and domim as well refers to blood. That's how significant the Torah gives a person's money and the things a person earned. You know, by Yaakov Avinu, they went back for Pachim Ketanim. It's the Torah, Tzadikim Chavivim Aleim Amoinam Yosim Megufam, something that a person worked and toiled and worked hard to gain and earn, that's something that we regard as the person himself.
Yeah.